Welcome to Medical Confessions,
your remedy for serious medicine. I'm Jen.
I'm April.
And I'm Scott. Today we got something a little bit different for you. Instead of a single topic, what we're going to be talking about is the random exciting things we've seen in medicine and the funny stuff we've seen in medicine. Since today's episode is random, we are going to be talking about patients we've seen. Don't worry though, all HIPAA laws are going to be followed. We changed places,
genders,
so that there will be no identifying characteristics for the people we actually talk about. The situations will be real, but the identifying markers will be changed for HIPAA purposes.
Yeah, it's kind of a random episode. It's kind of a random day because it's like 10 degrees outside, which is not normal for our geographical location. So our studio, which we may or may not have addressed in the past, and if you're a regular viewer, you've probably picked up on this, we call this the Red Barn Studios, and we're surrounded by farm animals.
It is cold. Your lips are so frozen.
We are all sitting here freezing right now. Our little studio heater is not... In fact, we even have an in-guest, in-studio guest who's... literally wrapped in blankets, so
it's cold.
If we slur our words, it's not because we're drinking. It's yes, because we're so cold.
You can't tell, I swear.
So
randomness.
I think this happens naturally. I think anybody in medicine, probably doctors, nurses, all the different types of emergency medicine, especially. I think you have these conversations around the coffee pot, the water cooler, whatever, and funny random things come up. So I know we've had those conversations, and I've actually thought to myself before, like, I wish we were videoing this because this is really funny. So I know you've got stuff.
I do. I have a funny story. Have you ever gotten your hand caught in a boob before?
No.
My own, or because it's definitely not a problem. Definitely not an issue that
I have to say, to get caught in a boob, you would have to think it's a rather large one then. And
right, and that's actually true. You know,
there are some rather rotund breasts out there.
Rotund. He used robust last episode. Now he's going on to
my word
rotund.
Palette is expanded a little.
Rotund. Do you use that with the ladies? Do you tell them
that you're rotund?
You're
no,
rotund.
God, no! I don't want to get punched. Kidding me? See, I mean, I already struggle with. I say things and like, are you calling me fat? Like, oh, that's not what I said, but okay.
Flush.
Anyways, so there I was, caught in the boob. No, so we all know when you do an EKG on someone, a 12-lead EKG, you've got to stick some of those patches just below the breast line.
Right.
There are some rather large breasts out there. I mean, we've seen them all. They hang down below the waistline and whatnot. And you're trying to be polite, right? You're not going straight for the breast groping style.
Right.
You're,
back
of the hand, slowly lift up, you know. So there I was, and it was rather large. And so it was like, do I need to use the whole arm, you know, or just a hand?
I would love to have seen you, like, fidget and be nervous. Because you don't often have to do the EKG. Someone does it for you, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just stand back and watch the madness
ensue. I'm all about just lifting.
Oh, yeah, place. Sometimes I'm not even, I'm just like... Done.
Sorry.
Especially if it's a smelly one.
Oh, that's a whole different topic.
Yeah, large rolls. Clean those things. But, so there I very polite, and I think I was actually going for this general area to get more surface area to lift. And then I did, and went to put the sticker. Well, the thing was rather large, and it went clunk. And just flopped right over, and my hand was now underneath this large breast, and it was large, so I don't know poundage-wise how much it was, but there was some weight there. And so I went to, like, slide on out, you know, all trickly-like.
Trickly.
But, you know, you wipe the area first, so you make it nice and dry. Well, then I went to pull out. It didn't. It kind of caught a little bit.
Oh, friction. There was friction.
There was friction there. And so I went to pull out, and the breast kind of did a little move, and it didn't. And I'm like, well, I can't lift up now because that didn't work. And so I need to pull again. Well, then it kind of caught again.
Where was your other hand during this? Were you?
It was down here. I wasn't, like, going to do that bit.
You know, you got to be aggressive.
You do have to. Apparently, you got to be aggressive when you're dealing with the breast. So I went to pull it out a third time, and she's like, it's not going to hurt you. And she lifted it up.
Was she an older woman?
She was. I don't know exactly. I don't remember the age, but 50s range.
Because I love that age group because they have, like, no fear. And they are totally okay with just, like, saying it, like totally embarrass you.
And this was about 10 years ago, so I had a fairly, you know, young baby face. And so I think she thought I was, like, 12. Aww. She's not going to hurt you. Let me get that out for
young
you.
Young man.
And then she was polite enough to then hold it up the rest of the time while I put them off so that I didn't. I mean, I don't. You guys know I have facial expressions, and I'm sure I gave one, and I don't know what it was, but it was enough to
sheer terror.
I was like, oh, God, my hand's caught. What's she going to do? You know, I mean, I didn't. There's a motorboat joke there, but leave that one alone.
We'll leave that one behind. But that's like a fairly normal thing, and it's funny. I can always tell how sick a patient is by their willingness to just, there's no...
Just do it.
Like, they don't
make
even care.
Happen.
Just make it happen. So, that one's funny. I wish I had seen that.
That was, well, and it actually goes in line. It wasn't too long before that. I was actually in school still. So, you know, when you're in school, you're the guy that's doing everything so they can watch, make sure you're not going to kill anybody. And this lady had abdominal pain. And so you guys know the questions you've got to ask are pretty personal, you know, menstruation, pregnancy, all of that stuff. And I must have looked like I was 12 because I started down that line of questioning. And
and it's so much worse, I think, for the men asking those questions than for the women. Because most of the time women don't, like, those are not a big deal to answer.
Well, and for her, she was a pretty, I would guess, modest individual and didn't like explaining that sort of stuff because she was given some one-word answers, but some of those you need them to expand a little bit.
Right.
And I remember I got to the point of, when was your last menstrual cycle? And then she looked at me and she goes, my son's not old enough to know that answer. I'm not going to tell you. And I was like, oh my, okay, well, you know, and then you got to go through the, this is going to help us out, you know, and, you know, your treatment or whatever. So she did finally explain, but that initial response was, oh, God, she must think I'm 12 and not old enough to ask those questions.
Baby. That's funny.
Apparently old women.
Tell my son that.
I know. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. No, my, I don't have a lot. I've shared with you guys before the gentleman putting a ring, his wedding ring, on his penis. And so that was really, you know, kind of more of not funny at the time, but later in retrospect, kind of wow. But I always seem to find that the people that have to call because they've inserted items like in the rectum, like that one's always awkward. But it's kind of the similar, you know, like answering questions about female function, it's kind of that same, like, they don't really, you know, they kind of complain about, like, pain or, you know, bleeding or whatever it is, and then they dance around it, and then you find out they have something. I had a gentleman that put a cap of, like, a mousse container, like a hair mousse, in there, and it took us, like, 10 minutes to figure out what the problem was, because he was complaining of pain, and so we were going down the bowel movement and constipation, and then finally he, you know, and he was a guy that had roommates, like male roommates, and I don't believe they were in any way, it would be just typical male roommates, and so he was kind of trying to, but he was sweating, and he looked really, really miserable, and so when we finally got to that
and what,
point,
a mousse cap?
So like a plastic, you know, like a, you know, like hair mousse, it was a cap that was on there, which isn't,
it's like a shot glass.
So did he try to take the whole mousse container
I
and
don't
shove
know.
It, and the cap got
I don't know,
because
and we
that's
didn't
not
know.
Pre-planning.
But what was really interesting to me was
there's no pre-planning there,
and I don't know. Like, passion must have overcome him. I'm not sure, but it wasn't until later when he was in a more private location that he was able to like.
Was it a travel size mousse or like the full?
I don't know. Like in my mind, I just thought about what is the purple brand, the Aussie. Like that's my like go-to of mousse, you know. So I was like, oh. The clear cap, ooh, you know, like, ouch. And he wanted, so when he was in a private situation, like, environment, he suggested if I wanted to look.
Oh.
Don't
I love that.
I'm gonna take your word for it.
I will
on this
trust
one.
That you're uncomfortable. And his position of comfort, because we always talk about that, like, you want to make the patient comfortable until you can remedy their ailment. Put them in a position of comfort, and his position of comfort was on all fours, like almost like birthing style, like women are, you know, delivering, like that was his like go-to, like rear end in the air, kind of on all fours, and he was breathing like Lamaze, like and like even rocking a little
bit. You gotta breathe through. I've had some pretty aggressive bowel movements where sometimes you gotta breathe through it, you know?
Yeah. And I feel like that was, and Taco I was Bell. Thinking, like, I wonder, like, the end of the cap. So, like, if we're talking about the insertion style that you're talking about with the entire bottle using as the applicator, right? So, was the end of it, when it popped off, was the soft tissue, did it kind of curve in and then not allow it to be removed? I don't know. I should not probably not have thought that through.
I was thinking that the whole time. Did it go in backwards or forwards?
Because I'm assuming
backwards. It'd have to.
Like you wouldn't want to enter otherwise. That way. So. Yeah.
Well, I'm just a guy that, you know, exit only. So, like.
Well, and I'm thinking tool, like, for the job. Like, right. There's options, and you don't need to revert to.
Right.
And if it's
hair product. Like, yeah. Don't bring the hair product into this. No.
What did that ever do to you?
What did the 3-minute miracle ever do to you?
It's my favorite conditioner.
Yeah, but you've actually misspoken about it before because You said you used, like, Salon Selectives or Suave, and you said the 3-minute miracle, and I'm like, no, that's Aussie.
No, that's, it is not Aussie. It's a, it is. The 3-minute miracle is a Pantene.
I'm Googling it.
No, I used it this morning. Do you not see the lovely locks? I mean, yeah.
All right.
I know other people who have used it.
I'm going to find it.
Recently. No, it is Pantene.
When we break.
They probably have one for each
Both
brand.
Of them? Yeah. I would think that would be like a legal issue.
Like a trademark 3-minute miracle?
Yeah.
Mm. It seems like 3 minutes of amazing every time I use it because I get out and think, oh, so soft.
Anyways. Back we go.
Said in the most masculine way possible.
That's right. Anyways.
I always like it when patients fart. But, like, fart in a way that it's completely normal and hold a conversation the whole time they're farting.
Like, play it off?
Yeah, like...
Like that didn't just happen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just...
I don't think I've had a lot of that. Like...
I just had it the other day.
You just bring it up. Like, you bring in people's best.
I guess.
They just are like, she looks like she would accept this about me.
Oh, that's all you got? Watch this.
But maybe, again, is it like sicker patients? Like, I feel like when people really don't feel well, all of that, like, modesty goes out the window.
I don't, well, they're having a full-on modest conversation just about what's going on.
Yeah.
And they're just, letting and it's go. Long. It's long and drawn out. And they're just talking to you like, nothing's happening.
Are you sure it's them?
And you know, inside your head, you're like, toilet paper?
Are we good?
I mean, do you need to change at all?
Oh, that's good.
One time I was writing a report and lost my pen. So I went and... grabbed what I thought was a pen, but it was a tampon.
Out of your pocket?
Yes. And the patient was a male patient, and he totally saw it. Like, oh. I kind of looked up, he kind of looked at me. Like, sorry. Oh,
geez. You're tracking with me, so be kind.
That's awesome.
Dang it.
I had done laundry and was treating a patient and taking vital signs, and I was leaving the room and looked on the floor and I was like, what is that? Why would the purple lacy panties lay in the middle of the floor? And then I was like, oh, they were mine. They fell on my pant leg from doing laundry. Oh, there's no classy way to retrieve those in a room full of people. No. Excuse me. They had been there the whole time, too. Like, they were, like, just glaring on the billboard.
Were they granny panties?
No.
Or were they, like,
they were
sexy
not.
Panties?
I kind of wish they had been granny panties. Like, they were very unprofessional ones. And I was like, do I just keep walking and, like, blame it on somebody else? But I think, it was obvious. They were
It is got to be, I mean... When I go, we have laundry facilities at our work, and so you go, you change out other people's laundry that's there, and I think I even changed out yours one time, and your underwear fell on the floor, and I'm like, I'm not folding this, and I threw it back in. I think I even left you a note. I'm not folding your clothes
you
or something.
You did leave me a note. It's not my responsibility to fold your clothes.
Yeah. Get your stuff out of the dryer. I'm not touching your underwear.
I had a coworker do that. It was a thong.
Yeah.
But it was... stuck in the dryer somehow, where when you open the door, they were like hung right
from the top. Twisted all around.
All he said was, I think your laundry's done. Well, and I went and looked. I'm like, oh, you think? And he's like,
sorry. Well, the funny thing is that I don't mind, like, if it just gets piled up. That's fine. Yeah. To me, it's creepy when it's perfectly folded.
Yes.
And forth.
Who folds underwear?
I don't know, but I've returned and had my laundry left there, like, perfectly folded. And, like, the shirts and pants, I'm, like, right on. But the unmentionables, just tuck those somewhere.
Well, I do know one of the coworkers that we work with, because he's folded my underwear several times. I even asked him, why do you fold the underwear? And he's like, oh, I need to fold the underwear. My wife will get angry. I'm like, really?
Yeah, big clothes, like, laundry person, like, folder. And I don't fold underwear.
You've got a drawer. You shove it in the drawer.
Yeah.
Who cares if it's wrinkly?
This has nothing to do with medical.
No, it doesn't.
We're going to go back to Tide Pods or something. Oh, all right. So, April, what have you got? I actually feel like April's story is going to be not so much the patient, but maybe April's reaction to the patient. Like, I feel like you're that kind of person that when people are put into your care, they actually go home and they're like, what just happened to me?
Well, I do have one of those. I was getting a certification.
Why did she do that?
What was that about?
What are you doing to me?
I was about 19 and I was going through this certification process, and one of the things I had to be checked off on was clipping old people's toenails.
Oh, really?
That's
yes, it was. It was a CNA certification.
I think of like Dumb and Dumber.
Break out the power tools.
Well, there's this old gentleman, classical music playing, we're clipping away, and I clipped too close to the skin.
You failed this certification.
No, I didn't fail. What my teacher pulled me aside was, when you mess up, you can't say just joking. Because it.
Just kidding. I didn't mean to stab you.
Did you really say that? Just kidding.
Yes. Because I, like, clipped too hard. He's like, ow. And he jerked it and he scared me. I'm like, just kidding.
I want to know what that checkoff sheet is like, you know?
I know.
Like, did it correctly? Did X, Y, Z? And then fail. I mean,
I didn't fail it, but she definitely told me I need to stop saying just kidding.
Yeah, that's a weird.
It was just a
response.
Reaction.
Just kidding.
Just kidding. I felt so bad because I'm sure it hurt.
But that's really, you really have to trust somebody. Like, I don't
think I'd let anybody clip my
toenails.
I've never had a mani-pedi, but I'd be nervous about it because I have ticklish feet. You start.
Oh, I would just laugh the worst. The whole time. I hate getting my toes done for that reason. Like, that is the one spot on my body that will, like, lay me out. Like, it's the worst. Like, I will, like, grip onto the chair and I just start giggling. It's horrible.
I do, too, and I curl up my toes.
Yes, and they're
and like, oh, sorry. Like, just hurry up.
That was racial.
Just do it.
That face you just made, that was racial.
What did I do?
Did you go racist on us?
I don't know.
She impersonated her
version of a stereotypical
pedicurist.
That's where I go.
It was an individual specific that you were imitating.
Yeah. Well, you do have to.
Sorry.
Well, you do have to be careful what you're going to say, because I do remember one time we were on, you know, with a patient, and they were actually very nervous about their situation. They thought they might die, and they weren't going to. It was actually a pretty benign thing we were there for, and I honestly don't even remember what it was, but I remember them very seriously asking, well, am I going to die? And the person taking the vital signs, just not even thinking, just thought it would be a random comment. Funny, because everyone there except for the patient knew that you're
not
fine.
Today.
No, they actually were like, well, we've all got to die sometime, as they're taking the blood pressure, and the floor, they're like, what? Really? And I'm like, oh, stop. That's not what he meant.
Oh, geez.
Calm down. Well, I've floored him. But, you know, you do got to be a little careful what you're saying.
Well, and when someone doesn't feel well or whatever, you know, they're going to take things differently than people like us who see those things all the time. Nothing, April? No personal medical stories?
You know, I used to ride along with my aunt in high school. She's a hospice nurse. So I would ride along, and she'd come out and do a report in a little tape recorder, and remember thinking she was so heartless for saying patient expired on, you know, such and such day. I'm like looking at her just mortified, like, she just referred to this person like a piece of food. Like, who expires?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is there a born on date? I don't think so.
Yeah, she got a kick out of that one. She likes to bring that up every once in a while. I felt so bad. I cannot believe how heartless you are. I have now become that. That's actually a bad term.
It is. Yeah. It does sound very foodish, though. Yeah. I've heard that, like, well, they've expired.
Yeah.
Does. It sounds wrong.
Well, it is kind of hard. Like, you know, when we tell people their family members die, I'm always like, do I say they passed? Do I say they died?
Yeah.
Do I say they
didn't make it?
You know, passed? Or, you know, what word do you use? And I'm always fumbling over my words. So I don't even know what is the appropriate word to use there?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I thought she could probably use anything. She was speaking into a tape recorder.
Yeah. And they were for her notes, right?
Like, for her notes, But.
So we're talking about just not other people's funny medical stories, but maybe ones that we've all had ourselves.
Yes.
You have one, Scott.
I do. And, you know, my family's pretty close, brothers and sisters, but I never thought we were close enough to where I'm pretty sure my sister played with my junk to get me to urinate.
No, not played.
Let's rephrase that.
Handled my junk. Right. I mean...
Assisted
with my junk?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think I was conscious enough because I don't remember it.
Your poor sister. You keep throwing her to the bus. Like, she gives you alcohol underage. And she, like, just...
We I'm never so said mad it for was your sister.
Yeah, you just said it. Oh, well.
She's going to be mad at me, too.
Well, no. So, I, you know, had to have surgery. And afterwards, you know, you're just... I mean, I was out of it medication-wise. Broke my tip fib, yeah. So I was in the hospital for a couple of days, and I was so doped up, you know. I probably shouldn't throw her under the bus again, but, like, I would be sleeping, and she said she was hitting that little button for pain meds because I was uncomfortable. So she was like, yeah, I timed that every 15 minutes I was hitting that thing for you.
Awesome.
She's a good
girl.
It's like, you looked uncomfortable. But anyway, so then when we're all done... You know, and I'm at home, and she drove me home, and I'm like, yeah, that was really weird. I didn't have a catheter, but I didn't have to pee much. And she goes, oh, no, you peed.
Aww.
And I was like, well, what do you mean? And she's like, well, no, I helped you with the urinal quite a bit. And I'm like, what do you mean? And she's like, well, you were kind of doped up. You couldn't even stand. So I, you know, helped you place the urinal, and you peed, and I was like...
That's actually really kind of her.
You were playing with my junk?
Stop it! No.
She's enough older than you that you're like her little brother.
Well, and now I'm...
I mean, you are literally her little brother, but...
Well, and I didn't think about it at the time, because again, at that time, I was still on a lot of pain meds, but now that I'm thinking about it, like, did she use the actual plastic of the urinal? Did she put on some gloves? I mean... I don't know. I need to ask this question. Yeah.
Now you feel violated?
Shoot, I mean, given my finger ratio, she probably needed to use a crane.
Oh, or something.
I mean, be honest.
You worked hard on that one. You were... doubt it.
Probably not.
You better be careful. She's going to comment.
Yeah, she is. She's going to tell the truth here shortly.
I've seen it. I needed a pair of tweezers and a
magnifying glass.
I don't have, like, a really cool, funny medical story as much as, like, I had a medical event that the surrounding story. You guys both know that I got shot at a hunting camp.
That.
And so...
Can you call it getting shot or just a... I mean,
that's what I call it because it sounds cooler.
Okay.
Like street cred. Yeah.
50 Cent style shot?
Yeah, totally. So, no, I was hunting with my dad and a bunch of friends, and we were shooting rifles, and at night, you know, the proper thing to do and the safe hunter thing to do is to take all the rounds out of the rifle when you get in your vehicle to go back to camp, and so you just put them in your pockets, and then when we get back, you set them on a table or whatever. Well, we had a windstorm, blew the table over, and we kind of like secured everything for the night and just went into the tent. And then the next day we got snow. So we came back from hunting and then we got a good fire going. And so we all were surrounded around the fire and I actually was in a nice spot and then kind of got scooted over, like move over, you know? And so I scooted over and it was so cold that, you know, like typical like chick, like hands and butt were cold. So I'm like going back and forth. And at one point I turned to face the fire again and heard like a boom and something hit my leg and it kind of was like loud, you know, but almost like firework style. And I was like, oh, and the guys that were around the fire with me were like, what was that? And I'm like, something threw out of the fire. It hit my leg. So at the time I wasn't wearing the pretty lacy panties. I'm wearing granny hunting panties. And so I go into the tent and my dad's there, but then actually just like friends, all males. And I didn't want any of them to, you know, so I went in and pulled my camo pants down and I actually had like what looked like a bullet entry wound. It wasn't huge though. And I'm like, it didn't add up. So I'm sitting in the tent with my pants down going, what happened? I had blood running down my leg, but the outside of the wound was, like cauterized, like, you know, like almost like burnt looking. So it was really strange. And, so then at one point I was like, Dad, I think I got shot. So then my thought was it a round from another camp or something that had come in? So then next thing I know, I'm standing in the tent with all of my friends, and I'm in my big granny panties, and I'm like, and they're like, you look like you got shot. So, funny thing is, they had all been drinking. So the one sober guy, and my dad, so the one sober guy had to drive me down this mountain to the closest ER, and it just happened to be Halloween. So we get in, it was just like ridiculous. Like we go in, and I'm in, like, haven't showered in 5 days, and I'm in all camo, and you know, go in with my friend at the time, and then we walk in and there's like clowns and like Hulk and, you know, like just, and I had to go up and tell the reception, I'm like, I got shot, you know? And she was like, what? I'm like, I got shot. And then it turned into this full, like, they wanted to call law enforcement and all that kind of stuff. Oh, but anyway, geez. Then I get back and the doc was like, yeah, you're not bleeding much. I doubt you got shot. I think it's just some sort of shrapnel, you know, that was probably in the fire. And I'm like, oh, okay. They go in and they do x-rays and then they come out and he throws them up on the thing. And he's like, no, you got shot. So
here's the bullet.
Yeah. So anyway, but it was a bullet that was in the fire. And then it popped off.
Now,
and
I heard this story, and wasn't it your husband, actually?
Well, he was my friend at the time.
Okay.
But it was his, what happened is I had to have it surgically removed. Right? Yeah, we had to have it surgically removed. And I was, like, excited about that was the one thing I wanted to find out, because we were all shooting different rifles, and we would figure out whose round it was. Like, who was... And it was that we found out. And I'm like, the doc's like, well, here it is. And I'm like, David.
So now every time, you remember that time you shot me?
That's kind of what the joke is. That's kind of the joke is that he shot me. So yeah, but the best part was like when we got sent into the ER, like nobody was really worried about me. They were worried about hunting camp. And so my dad's like, pick up some onions and jalapenos while you're down.
We need more beer.
Yeah. So anyway.
Do you use that quite a bit, like when you really don't want to do the dishes? Like, Dave, remember that time you shot me?
No, it's more like I said, I use it more like street cred. Like, I'm like, it's not that big of a deal. I've been shot. You know, like, I use it more like cavalier like that. Like, and then people are always like, ooh, yeah, I got the scar. Forget that the scar is, like, actually a bigger deal because when they went to retrieve it, they actually had to, you know. Mm. So that's more the way I use it. So if you like what you've seen today, check us out on YouTube.
Or visit our website, medicalconfessions.com.